Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on an item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded and video recorded except where council is considering any exempt matters. The recording of comment is linked to the microphone system on the computer system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item to use instant messaging facility, indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be taken as court as the seconder. And just under chairman's remarks, I just basically just wanted to really wish everyone a very happy Christmas. It's been a difficult year. Hopefully 2021 will be somewhat better than maybe 2020. And I just want to thank all the all the directors, assistant directors, all the democratic services. Members of the Fourth Estate here as well, and I want to thank you all. And just as I say, we do have 33 items on the agenda, so I hope that peace and goodwill will extend everybody tonight till we get through it all. So anyway, in that regard, I see Glenn, Councillor Hannah, if you want to come in for a quick comment.
Maybe directed by Conor Mall. There's an item there on the agenda about Warren Point Harbour Marina. With me being on the board of the harbour, do I have to declare an interest in that?
It's up to each individual councillor to determine whether they have a conflict or a perceived conflict, and it would be a matter for yourself, Councillor Hannah.
All right, sure. I'll think about it between now and the agenda. An item comes up on the agenda.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Tenley?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, just to let the meeting know, I have to leave at 7:15, so my apologies in advance for that. But the main item, Chairman, I just wanted to raise beyond the Chairman's remarks. We probably all found out over the weekend there that Dr. Gerard O'Hare has been appointed as the new Chair for Warren Point Harbour Authority. So, a very prestigious position, I'm sure members will agree. And I was going to propose that you consider sending a letter of congratulations from this committee, if you felt that was appropriate, Chairman. So I will make that a formal proposal.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Tenley. I see Councillor Stokes is in the second that. So is that something that can be minuted, and then would that need to go that could be brought then to get a letter from the council as a whole, Councillor Tenley? Is that what you're expressing? Yes.
Well, whatever. I'm not sure, Chairman. But, the reason that I raised it was this is the Economic Regeneration Committee. So that's the reason I raised it with you, Chair.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll bring that forward then to full council and get the chair, and I can sign that too then as well, and on behalf as the chairman as well. Okay, Councillor Henley, thank you. Item number 3 is the action sheet from the ERT committee meeting held on the 9th of November. if we go through it. Page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. I think I need a proposer and a seconder. Okay, Jarrett Tenley. Thank you, Councillor Tenley. It's proposed and seconded by Councillor Savage. Is there any matters arising? No matters arising. Thank you very much. Okay, on to item number 4, which is the AONB Terms of Reference. And Mr. McGilley is taking this. Mr. McGilley.
Thank you, Chairman. Just by way of I suppose, overview of the report, obviously within the review of the AOMB Structures and Strategy and Management Group that was undertaken last year, Chairman, there was a recommendation that the groups, the AOMB groups, review their terms of reference. Chairman, those have been reviewed and are tabled tonight with the committee with a recommendation that they be approved by the Council in relation to the Strangford Lough and the Kale Partnership and for the Ringaculion AOMB Partnership. Terms, we recommend that those be approved. And also within the report that the Council work with partners to develop a shared history fund application to the National Lottery Heritage Fund, Cheryl.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Any proposer and a seconder?
I think I propose there, sure. I'd second that, sure.
Thank you. For the rec. So Councillor McAteer, you're happy to propose, and Councillor Clark, you're happy to second. Yep. Okay. Moving on is item number 5, the COVID-19 revitalisation scheme, tranche 1, phase 2, and Mr. McGilley is taking that. Mr. McGilley.
Yeah, Chairman, this is, I suppose, by way of update as to where we are. As Council will be aware, we have secured funding from DFC, DERA and DFA in relation to a COVID-19 revitalisation fund, Chairman. Following previous meetings of the Council and representation from the Council, a further £147,000 has been secured, which will be utilised through DFC, will be utilised across the district as part of the grant scheme. Chairman, so that's the first piece of update and a recommendation, Chairman, that this would be accepted and that we move to accept the letter of offer from the department. Chairman, second, and we work with the lead departments in terms of the delivery of that programme. So the second element of the report looks at, as Council will be aware, we had previously agreed to carry out a phase one application process. Chairman, that is ongoing, and we're currently issuing letters of offer and receiving claims for grant aid from businesses in the district, and that is rolling out. Chairman, what we are recommending at this stage is that we move to the second stage of the application process, whereby in January we make a further call through from our AOA process, Chairman, to invite applications for grants for further works, Chairman. In this stage, based on the AOA that was carried out previously, the next level of our next area that we would focus on would be around exterior minor works in terms of painting, signage, doors, window replacement, also looking at awnings, purchasing of awnings and gazebos to facilitate social distancing and outdoor use of space outside facilities, and also looking at the purchase of equipment that may aid remote working or digitization for some of our businesses, Chairman. So obviously the grant element is still the same, Chairman, and it's detailed there. There's around about £1 million of grant, so it would be based on first come, first serve in terms of the applications, which is the system that we've been working to date. So those are the recommendations contained within the report, Chairman, for your consideration. So any questions that the members may have?
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to take the questions in first as we have a proposer and seconder. Councillor McAteer, if you want to come in with a quick question there.
I do, yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, I just see there that this has to be completed, is that right, by the 31st of March, Jonathan?
Yeah, the aim would be.
Well, yeah, just can I make the point just that, I mean, first of all, this is absolutely and utterly extremely welcome that this extra money has come in, plus the previous money as well. I think it'll be the probably will contribute to the survival of many businesses that maybe would have gone underground. And we're not alone thinking of during this COVID period, but this post-COVID, I think it's a very, very important issue and a stage where business will be looking to, you know. So with that in mind, just any of those that have to have completion by the 31st of March, you see if they needed planning permission. You know, for example, some of the awnings and some of the signs is that, issues have been put or I suppose, arrangements have been put in case with the planning department to bring those forward very, very rapidly.
Well, suppose, Chairman, we have been working with the planning department to try to advise businesses as best we can, and we will have guidelines that we'll issue along with the application if that is the case, Chairman. I suppose the aim is to spend as much of this money by the 31st of March. If there are issues, we can approach the department to say, is there some extension, but we would need to know the volume and scale of it. So we'll work through them as we go, but it wouldn't be a reason for rejecting an application. So we've been working with the planning department to make it as easy as possible within the rules and the policies. But equally, we'll deal with any extensions should they arise if need be with the department. Well, hopefully, maybe some opportunity for flexibility there, but that'll have to be explored when we know the quantum or the scale of the issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer.
Thank you.
Councillor McGrew.
Thank you very much, Chair. Again, I also welcome this report, and anything that can be brought in to help and support our businesses is going to be absolutely vital. But could I perhaps put forward a suggestion to the officers and to the committee for consideration? I'm already getting a number of requests from people who are asking me, are there going to be any measures brought in to support people that feel they may need to retrain? And I understand that a lot of what we have done to date is about helping businesses in the immediate short-term future to cover expenses, you know, that they have incurred due to COVID. But I'm very aware that the hospitality industry really believe at this stage that they will not recover quickly. And I have spoken to a number of people involved in that industry who have asked, is there going to be any form of funding that would be made available to support those that need to retrain or even maybe take the opportunity to go out in a self-employed basis? And could I suggest maybe that this committee write to the Minister and ask, has she in fact looked at bringing any sort of grant? Because we need to be looking further down the road on this, because I think we all appreciate that next year is going to be particularly difficult and Brexit on top is not going to help that. So could I put forward that suggestion for members to consider that we actually look at a longer term financial assistance for those that need to retrain, you know, to support them in their endeavour to do that?
If I could bring in Councillor Mallon there Officer Mallon, sorry, in regard to the communicating with the department, and thank you, Councillor McGrew.
Thanks, Chair. More than happy to engage with the department and seek any clarity around them issues. We're also probably a couple of papers on. We're looking at setting up a COVID-19 recovery working group, which I would consider this would be an element of that we would be investigating within that group to see how we can provide support to our businesses across all sectors. So I'm happy to take that action if that's what the members approve tonight.
Councillor Tinley, are you in for a question?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. No, listen, I concur with the previous comments of Councillors Mulgrew and McAteer. But just wanted to sort of say to Jonathan there, the stage one applications are still being assessed, and letters of offer issued to those that have already been assessed. So, conscious of the time, Chairman, that there is a deadline there of March for this whole thing to be wrapped up. And my concern would be that if the stage one money isn't getting out quick enough, it's going to make people less willing to apply a second time if they haven't received the first payment. And so I would encourage officers to get those assessments done as quickly as possible and the money out the door. And could I also ask that those who are successful on their stage one are made well aware that they're also not prohibited and, in fact, should be encouraged to apply for the stage two. And finally, Chairman, could Jonathan confirm that it's only the people that had signed up, had submitted the expression of interest by September past, that actually will be eligible for this? So, in other words, anybody that's now seeing this for the first time, are they actually prohibited from applying for this £2,000 grant? Could you just confirm that? And finally, confirm that this will have to be ratified at the January full council meeting before this actually can go out, Chairman. So we're very much up against the clock here. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. McGilley, I think there was a point addressed to you, Mr. McGilley. Thank you.
Yeah, Chairman, the grant applications, there was an expression of interest carried out that was where businesses obviously expressed the interest of what they required. The overwhelming, the first tranche of applications was based around that. We're going back out again to those businesses again, so no one's excluded that has submitted their AOA. The grant aid is flowing out as we speak. It was on a first come, first serve, so as applications come in, letters of offer were issued. So there's payments have gone out already, Chairman, so this is rolling. And the expression of interest, or sorry, the recommendation from tonight, yes, goes to the full council, but it'll be ready to go. The applications will be ready to go as soon as if or once ratified by full council. Chairman, that is what will be going on in the interim period between now and the start of the council's meeting in January.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Riley, a question, Councillor Riley. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. I just want to ask Jonathan, can you give us any indication of the distribution of the grants throughout the different towns within the district?
Chairman, at the moment, the one of the applications that have went out, there's 210 letters of offer out, Chairman. I wouldn't be able to say where they are. They are distributed across the district. Focus will be on the urban centres, because that's where the majority of the money was focused, but they are going across the whole of the district. But we'll be able to bring back a report next month. I wouldn't have the details, Chairman, because we're still working through and all of the first stage claims haven't come in, so we don't know yet for definite, but there's a spread across the whole of the district.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Savage, are you looking, are you happy to come and propose that, Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair, and like the previous speakers, I'm very happy to welcome this. This was a very welcome form of assistance to struggling businesses at the very start and in the middle of this COVID campaign in relation to trying to tackle it head on and try and get some sort of respite for businesses. So it's very important, as I believe that Councillor Tinley has said, that we get the money out as quickly as possible, that businesses start to talk to one another about the benefits they've received in getting this money. And the sooner we can get phase one out, I'm no doubt that we'll have a lot of expressions of interest in relation to phase two. So the challenge really is to try and get phase one out there, let people see the tangible benefits of it, and to continue to do the work that we're doing on the ground to try and help businesses as best we can. As I've said all along, we're heading into a very difficult 6 to 12 months here for businesses on so many fronts, be it from coming out of Brexit, coming into Brexit and coming out of COVID. And from that perspective, I think we need all the tools in the box that we can give businesses at the minute. And I surely welcome it, and I'm very happy to propose it tonight, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. And Councillor Clark, are you happy to second?
Yes, Chair, happy to second. And second, I agree with Councillor Savage in regards to we have to do everything we can for the businesses going into the next year, particularly in the first 6 months, as he said, in regards to Brexit and that, and the uncertainty of Brexit as well. We've a good opportunity to, and I would like to commend the office. This has been a difficult piece of work. You know, the expressions of interest in regards to it, it's been very difficult to, you know, I suppose satisfy the demand that was out there for different types of works. But I think this is a good scheme, and I commend them for getting the extra resources as well. I think particularly in January and February, when we look at the High Street voucher, I think that's where we need, you know, to have our businesses ready to go in regards to, you know, getting the footfall across in a safe manner to get the footfall across our high streets. And so happy to second.
Yeah, thank you very much, councillors, and I think yeah, we all agree how imperative it is to keep this money coming through. Okay, item number six is a Dublin-Belfast corridor. And it's been taken by Mr. Mallon.
Thanks, Chair. The purpose of this report is to update members on the Dublin-Belfast Corridor Group and to seek approval of the recommendations in Section 3 of this report. Progress to date on the corridor includes the development of a branding and logo, which us and Neary Morning Down led on. Work is now progressing on the development of a new website, and we have agreed governance arrangements that are set out in Appendix 1 of the report. The governance agreement includes a political advisory group made up of three elected members from each council. And tonight the committee is asked to note the contents of this report and the progress to date to develop the Dublin-Belfast Economic Corridor, to endorse the governance structures attached at Appendix 1, and recommend the following three members participate on the political advisory group: the Chair of Council, Chair of ERT, and Vice Chair of ERT. So I'm happy to take any questions or any alternative proposals.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mallon. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. No, Chair, when we looked at it with another own group, it was just noted that I think that the advisory group, the political advisory group, meets once a quarter. And if we go for the proposal, Chair, Vice Chair of this committee and Chair of Council, and no disrespect to any individuals concerned, that the individuals concerned would only be getting two meetings and then they'll be switching. So, you know, they wouldn't be getting a full year out of it, for example. So I wonder, is there a potential alternative? And are we limited to three? I think we do want cross-party representation, certainly. But is there a, you know, so somewhere, if we're maybe a different way of appointing, we do another boards and panels that would at least get, we would appoint it for the next 12 months, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Councillor Burgess, you have a question?
It's a very same question as what Councillor Stokes really asking there, but I would even go further than that. How long is this committee expected to last? And like all our committees, should we not be electing one from each party for the term until we have Brexit and whatever hour the car door sorted out for once and for all? I would miss what Gary's only after saying there.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, and Councillor Stokes, I wasn't sure if you had a proposal for a different structure. Sorry, I didn't mean to sort of not acknowledge the point, but I just wasn't sure if there was an alternative proposal coming up. But Mr. Mallon's going to come in here and sort of update, sorry, in regards to Councillor Burgess's question.
Sure. Yeah. Just to add a wee bit to that, was this ever taken to group leaders? Does group leaders discuss this? I'll leave it at that, Chair, just a moment. Yeah.
This grouping, the Chief Executives Group have discussed the governance arrangements and agreed that to manage numbers of the Political Advisory Group, where we have eight councils represented, that three members from each council was manageable, and it was the opinion that any more than three members, the numbers would be such that it would be unmanageable. So all other of the seven other council partners have nominated three members to sit on this political advisory board, and that's why the report is presented tonight with the recommendation for three members.
Councillor Clark.
Yeah, Chair. I know it's difficult. You've only three places, so it's difficult to get everybody accommodated. And I can see what the officers are trying to do. But currently, if you look at what's being suggested, Sinn Féin is the biggest group. We won't have a position on that. And I think that causes me difficulty. There's no unions appointed either. So I think we do have to look at some other type of mechanism to deal with it. Three might be the right number, but as I said, we're not going to appease everybody. You know, currently in the current format, it would be there's two SDP, one Alliance. Oh, Mickey Fisher.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So under current structures, it would be, as far as I can tell, it would be Lord Devlin, myself as chair of ERT, and Councillor Ryan as deputy chair of.
There's no unions represented.
So, I'm guessing here that there's not consent over the recommendations as they're put down. Is there an amendment to the recommendations, or are we going to take this?
Chair, can I just ask another question?
Maybe
you defer to party leaders.
Well, if it's a brief question, yes.
Well, yeah, it was around something the same. I would second that, but also have we time to get that done? And if we have, I would second that we go send it to group leaders and let them discuss it there.
I think there is time to get it to group leaders. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, it was just to get clarification from the unionist folk that they actually will partake in, and sometimes they don't partake in these north-south corridor bodies, you know, so just to get confirmation that they will actually attend.
Well, from a farming point of view, Declan, I have no problem.
Thank you.
Chair, I asked a question. Would you get clarification from all the unionist grouping?
Well, I don't think this is. We have to go to party leaders. I think for that, I mean, we can't unilaterally make a decision amongst for the unionists in this.
Well, I'm sure they can answer it.
Well, Councillor Burgess does not answer, and he was indicated.
Well, but strand of unionism.
Well, there you go. Therein lies the problem of trying to get unilateral clarification, Councillor McAteer. So, Councillor Savage, are you looking to come in?
What I was going to suggest has already been suggested, which is take it back to group leaders and providing that both unionists or any of the unionist representatives are happy to go, then they would discuss it and probably apply under the hunt or whatever is seen as the first measure. But to ensure there'll be cross-party or cross-community representation on it, I think it's very important.
So, as I read it, then there's a general consensus about taking this back to party reps. If there's no other divergence from that, I'm going to continue. Is that okay?
That's fine, sir. That's good. Good idea.
Yeah. Proposal and seconder for that, please.
So proposed, Chair.
So
second, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, item number 7 is Newry Lower Hill Street Public Realm Scheme. Mr. McGilley is taking this.
Chairman, councillors will be aware that we're currently implementing a public realm environmental improvement scheme on Lower Hill Street in Newry. The scheme's funded through the Department for Communities and the Council. Chairman, what we're seeking approval is when the original economic appraisal and business case would have been approved by the council, it was approved for a total sum. However, the contract would have been let for less given the procurement process. The process now is where your risk and your contingency figures come in, they come in afterwards. So what we're seeking approval is to issue the purchase orders up to the maximum of the business case to allow for contingency and risk allowance. That will be funded by the department. So the second recommendation is that we would issue or accept the offer from the department to allow for this administrative amendment to proceed, Chairman. All of the contingencies and risks have been assessed and are deemed to be reasonable, Chairman. So those are the two recommendations before the committee this evening.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Stokes, you're proposing.
Yeah, sure. Was just a quick question. I mean, I appreciate we've had the pandemic in the middle of all this, but I mean that work commenced, and I know how long it was ago because I was still getting into the office every day, and that's almost a year ago now. So, just through yourself, Chair, when is the final completion of that? I mean those traders on some great businesses down there have put up with a lot over the last while, and when is the actual total finish date?
The scheme will be completed for the end of financial year, Chairman, by March. Yeah, the work commenced towards the end of May, so it's fairly well on track. It was delayed slightly getting on as a result of COVID. It would have been on a bit earlier, but it'll be due finished on the end of March. Sorry.
Yeah,
obviously, the limited work during December due to obviously the normal moratorium that there is on state works in December.
Yeah, I think because the utilities were in first chair and it was the right thing to do. As far as traders are concerned, the actual people working on that site, it was going on, late last year. So it'd be great to get that finished. And thanks to everyone involved. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Councillor Savage, you're down to second. Can you second it, please?
Yes, Chair. Happy to second it, and glad to hear that we'll be looking at new streetscape there finished by the end of March. And thank to Jonathan and the team for his delivery to date. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to item number 8, which is the COVID-19 Recovery Working Group. And Mr. Mallon is taking this.
Thanks, Chair. The purpose of this report is to seek approval for the establishment of a council COVID-19 recovery working group as set out in the recommendations in Section 3. As a council, it's very important that we are well placed and have plans in place to manage the recovery from COVID-19, both in how we return to full service delivery within the council and how we support our businesses and communities. With that in mind, the recommendation set out in 3.1 of the report is that members approve the establishment of an Uree Mhoireann Down District Council COVID-19 Recovery Working Group as set out in the terms of reference in Appendix 1 to this report. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mallon. Yes, and I think it has been laid out already in some of the conversations regarding the importance of it. So I'll take the questions in first. Councillor Mulgrew.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to put my video on just to keep everybody right. Again, I just want to raise the issue of the membership of it, and I'm wondering if this shouldn't be done something along the lines of the group leaders, where, when the Chair of Council is held by SDLP, that there would be Chair of Council and one member of SDLP, and when it is held by Sinn Féin, it would be Chair of Council and one member of Sinn Féin, therefore making sure that both of the bigger parties, and of course Sinn Féin is the biggest, have equal representation. I just think that's the way we should go forward. It's how we have done things to date to try and make sure that there is a fair spread and fair representation.
Thank you, Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor Riley, sorry, question, Councillor Riley.
Thanks, Chairman. Chairman, I'm sure people will have heard and welcomed the news that we will be completely outside the European Common Fisheries Policy. And I think that presents great opportunities for Kilkeel. It's one of the biggest ports in all these islands together. And I think it would be really useful if we were to meet with the fishing representative groups to see how we can use that as an economic driver to help us out of COVID. But probably it would be the Moorings councillors with yourself, Jonathan, but certainly I would be grateful if the council could consider organising a meeting, an early meeting with them, to see how we move forward from the 1st of January 2021. Definitely a massive opportunity there.
Yep. No, I think noted, Councillor Riley. So going on then, Councillor Stokes, are you happy to propose?
Yeah, sure. And I think it's key. And like, these are difficult. I think the couple of points, everybody thinks that this thing's going to be finished. It's difficult to know when is it, when are things going to return to so-called normal. And it's impossible to, you know, even with the vaccine, we just don't know. But one of the things that is key that this group is talking to the business people, is talking to the citizens. You know, we don't have all the answers. The only way to get them is to go out and talk to those representative bodies and our citizens as well. And, you know, that group needs to take, pay close attention to our citizens and our businesses. Sure. And no objection to what Councillor McGrew said in terms of the membership. Sure. Thanks.
Yeah. I'm in agreement. Councillor Hart, if you could second for the audio and recording, Councillor Hart.
Yeah, I'm happy to second, just to say that any support for businesses, etc., is greatly welcomed.
Thank you, Councillor Hart. Item number 9 is the... Sorry,
Chair, I was trying to get in there. Just to add to what Councillor Riley's really after saying about the fishing industry, yes, I would support him in that, but not to forget our glass, because it is equally a very big port for the fishing industry. So I'd like to see it included in that.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess. Item number 9 is the Smart Cities Forum, and that is being taken by Mr. McGilley.
Mr. Chairman, yes, the report's in front of you there this evening. This is a request to renew our membership of the All-Ireland Smart Cities Forum. Chairman, the Council has been a member of this now for this past 2 years, Chairman, and the recommendation is that we renew the membership at a cost of €3,900. Chairman, this is where we network with other cities like Dublin, Cork, Limerick, Waterford, Belfast, Derry and Galway, and it's really around the whole issue of using your connectivity and your smart technologies to develop your city centres, Chairman. So really at this stage we are in a learning mode, developing best practice and experiencing that and building contacts, Chairman, to cultivate and develop those innovative ideas, Chairman. So it has been very informative in helping us build the case up there, particularly under the digital theme for the Belfast Region City deal, and looking at our whole full fibre and projects as well, Chairman. So the recommendation is that we renew the membership for the coming year, Chairman, at that cost, €3,900, Chairman. It's as per your budgets within the year, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Stokes, are you happy to propose?
I'm happy to propose, sir. It's important that Newry takes its place, Chair, with all the other great cities on the island, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Councillor McAteer, are you content to second?
Yes, again, just echo what Gary said there. I mean, I think it's important that more now than ever that all the major industrial and cities right around the whole island of Ireland are all interconnected. I think that's going to be the future of this island. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, councillors. Item number 10 is universal basic income. Mr. Mallon is taking item number 10. Mr. McGilley.
Sorry. Yes, Chairman, as you'll be aware from a previous council meeting, the council supported a notice of motion on the universal basic income concept, Chairman, and that has been supported by Derry and Strabane Council and Belfast City Council as well, Chairman. What is before us this evening is to consider a nomination to sit on a steering group called the UBI Laboratory for Northern Ireland, which will basically take this idea forward and start to develop the case, carry out the necessary research and an attempt to move forward to develop the concept of the UBI, Chairman. So the recommendation in front of you this evening is that the Council nominate one elected representative to sit on this committee, Chairman. The terms of reference are attached as well, which outline, I think, a meeting's 2 to 3 times a year, Chairman. So that is the recommendation that's before you this evening.
Councillor Clark, you have a question?
Yeah, Chair, just to say, obviously when this motion came to the Council, Sinn Féin voted against the motion. So our position hasn't changed in regards to that. We don't see this as the silver bullet to deal with need and disadvantage. And speaking to colleagues in Belfast, they haven't nominated as yet anyone from Belfast. There is a slightly different motion in Belfast. I think there's been three different types of motions, but they're basically in around the same idea. So while I see merits in it, I don't think this will pull people out of deprivation, and it'll basically reward people. People who are financially well off will get an increased opportunity in life. So for them reasons, Sinn Féin will not be nominated.
Well, okay. Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Tinley, you're down to propose. Are you proposing with the nomination as well, Councillor Tinley?
Yes, I'm happy enough to do that, Chairman. I think the paper presented there is self-explanatory, and the man that I thought done an excellent job in presenting it to members at a previous council meeting was Councillor Brown. So I propose that Councillor Brown be offered that position, or does it have to be somebody from ERT? But if not, I'm happy to propose Councillor Brown.
I think Mr. Malland is it.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just advise members that Councillor Brown actually runs this UBI lab, and he has declared that he's conflicted and would not be able to represent council on the group.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Thanks, Clark. I'll withdraw that then, Chairman.
Fair enough, Chair. I was just going to say the same, that Paddy Brown has actually created the group.
Is there anybody willing to put a nomination? Perhaps Sinn Féin have essentially ruled themselves out of it, I think. Is there anybody from the SDLP or the Unionist Collective here, or Councillor Riley perhaps, maybe, for the Universal Basic Income?
Sure, that's a deathly silence. So just in order to break it and save anybody's blushes, I tell you what, I'll actually propose you then, Chairman, to be our representative on that. So I may or may not get a second there, but I'm happy to propose you.
Okay. Councillor Greaser, you have a question there?
Yes, Chair. If people are not willing to put forward any nominations at this stage, perhaps the thing to do is to refer this to group leaders for discussion as well, rather than it to hold up this meeting.
Yeah. No, I think I was actually going to nominate John Traynor of the SDLP. If it had continued in silence, I was actually thinking maybe somebody from the SDLP might have done that. I'm going to propose John Traynor. As a counter proposal to myself, which is maybe not the dumb thing, but if there's a seconder for John Traynor, I'd be most obliged.
Chair, I think I would second Councillor McGrews. I think it should go to group leaders and let them discuss it there.
Okay, are we contending with the group?
You actually have to go back to full council anyway, and you could just start the debate all over again. I think back to group leaders.
Are we content to move with the group leaders then, since there's doesn't seem to be an agreed? It does probably require a bit of reflection, I think, maybe to get to the right person.
And sure. This is Councillor Tinley here. Just for clarity, now, I had a proposal and Gary has seconded, so you're not accepting the proposal. Is that right?
I would prefer not to do it myself, just with commitments and such, but... If it needs to go to a vote, it can go to a vote. But yeah, I guess.
No. I don't think it's saying you need to go to a vote. Yeah, that's clear. If you're happy to send the group leaders, that's fine.
So can you just withdraw your proposal then? Is that okay if you withdraw?
I'm happy to withdraw the proposal, Chairman. Yes.
Councillor Stokes, are you happy to second your withdrawal?
Yes. Given it's not proposed, Chair.
Okay.
My second is no longer valid, Chair. Thank you.
Roisin, is there a second or Robert? Was it Robert or McGree? I think Robert came in first and Roisin. So Robert proposed. Oh, jeepers. Yep, that's grand. Sorry, my team's just disappeared on me there too. Okay, moving on. Thank you. Item number 11 is Warren Point Marina, and it is taken by Mr. McGilley. Thank you.
Yes, Chairman. As the councillors will be aware, the council had agreed to update the business case for the Warren Point Marina project. Chairman, that has been now completed, Chairman, and the recommendation is that will be tabled at the Strategic Finance Working Group based on the report for consideration through that working group, given the involvement of the council in terms of potential funding requirements, Chairman. So the recommendation is that be referred to the next meeting of that working group.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. I see Councillor Tinley is in with a question. Councillor Tinley.
Chairman, I'm not sure if there's any of the Crotley DA councillors on the Strategic Finance Working Group, so would it also not be just a courtesy to present the same paper to an upcoming DA meeting, Chairman?
Chair, the Strategic Finance Working Group is open to all members of Council, not just those that are named. So there's an opportunity there to discuss it as Strategic Finance Working Group when it's been presented as part of the proposals for capital projects. Councillor Tinley, if that's...
That's fine, Conor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tinley and Mr. Mallon. Councillor McAteer, are you happy to propose? And Councillor Iran, yes. Are you happy to second?
Yes, Chair, I am indeed. Yeah. Can you keep
yes, Chair, happy to second.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Councillors. Moving on then, is item number 12, which is Yes, the Woman in Business, Yes, You Can. Mr. McGilley is taking this.
Chairman, this is a 3-year programme that has been supported by InvestNA. Chairman, the recommendation was that the Council would review its membership each year. To date, 2 years have been completed and the outputs of the programme have been extremely successful, particularly in this year, given the challenges of COVID. Chairman, the aim of the programme is around promoting entrepreneurship among women. Chairman, and we are recommending that the support continues in for the coming financial year at a cost of £6,000, Chairman, as per the report. So that is the recommendation ahead for the committee for the coming financial year, and those are built into your estimates that you will consider in the coming weeks.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Mulgrew, you're in for a proposal and a question.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to propose this, and I think many of the conversations we've had earlier, you know, any help and support to any business, irrespective of who is running it, is key. But when we look at the makeup of employment in our area and how many of them are actually small to medium businesses, and there are a significant number of women, you know, with very small businesses, and any support that can be given to them is absolutely vital, and it's a very small amount of money at the end of the day, and the results have been incredibly positive. So, and I love the logo, Yes We Can, and if I can do it, anybody can. So I think it's an excellent initiative that I'm happy to propose.
Thank you, Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor Hart, you're down to second. Are you happy to second for the audio, Councillor Hart? Sorry, Councillor Hart, I'm not sure. We couldn't quite hear you. I'm not sure if we can...
Yes, I'm happy to second, Andy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Hart. Sorry about that. Okay. 13 is... item number 13 is Sea Tours in Newcastle Harbour. Mr. Patterson. Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Yeah, Chair, over the summer, there was a successful pilot run of sea tours out of Newcastle Harbour. Given the few months that it did run, it was successful in delivering a new tourism experience in the district. So in order to go ahead and provide a regular service, council is required to go out to tender for that provision and to go out to tender and open that up to the market and invite applications in. So we would intend to do that, given approval in the new year, in order to have provision in place for the summer months. So the paper is seeking approval on that recommendation, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Councillor Hannah, you're there to propose and for a question. Councillor Hannah.
Chair, I'm happy to propose. I know different ones that were out on that sea tour, so it wasn't that it seems to have gone down extremely well and it is very popular. One question possibly for Andy. Is there any upgrades or anything need to be done at Newcastle Harbour to accommodate extra cars parked around the harbour or safety equipment that needs to go in there, you know, with the boat? It seems to be at the very end of the pier. It seems to be tied up. Is there any facilities that need to be upgraded or anything you got there to cope with this?
In terms of the car parking, through the chair, we're talking to DFI that's actually responsible for that, for car parking down just as you go in there. In terms of the boat, we're discussing with the boat owner in terms of its placement at the harbour there. There's general upgrades and general maintenance required, but we will be doing a limited amount of work prior to next summer season, just to carry out that maintenance, but it's more around moorings and that type of thing.
Right, it's just what I was thinking about, Andy, was getting people onto the boat and off the boat, and just the situation with that there, but just I'm not sure, I haven't actually seen them get onto the boat, so I was just wondering, but I do thoroughly welcome it. I think it's actually a massive asset to Newcastle in the sense there, it gives a better experience of the area. You can just, it looks completely different whenever you're actually looking at the shore, so you do from out at sea. So very much welcome and happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Clark?
Chair, I'm happy to second, and it's, I suppose, a similar view as Councillor Hannah. You know, this is a business that's promoting the area in a really positive way, and the guys that set it up are local guys who put all their savings into the project, so they're fully committed to this project, and although it goes out, it'll be going out to the tender, I think they have actually put Newcastle Harbour on the map in regards to tours. There's from local people to visitors to diaspora wanting to get on after COVID and that. The opportunities are limited. So I'm happy to second the proposal. I think you just had a look at the social media and the photography that has been taken up to now, how popular boat trip this is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark and Councillor Hannah, yes. And the moorings are pretty spectacular as they are, but when viewed from the sea, they're particularly impressive. So, yes, that's great. Moving on then to item number 14, which is the customer satisfaction survey, and Mr. Jackson is taking this. Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Members, you may recall that we were asked to conduct a customer satisfaction survey at the June ERT committee meeting to determine how the billing and toll service was performing during the COVID-19 restrictions. So I'm very pleased to inform you that the independent survey was conducted in September, and overall the results are very satisfactory. As you can see from the results in the attached report, the customers are very satisfied with the billing control service. I've also included the results of a recent APSI performance report, which compares our service against seven other councils across the province. And the results of the APSI report confirm that our billing and toll service came first in three out of the four categories when compared with the seven other councils. So I think the customer satisfaction survey and the APSI reports confirm that the billing and toll service is operating at a very high standard for customers. However, I do recognise that there's always room for improvement, and to that end, I intend to review the recommendations suggested by our customers and implement any further improvements in the near future. We've already introduced an online service for the submission of building notice and regularisation applications, and we've received more than 460 applications from May. We are in discussions with BCNI and Tuscomy in relation to the introduction of an online service for the provision of our full plans applications, and we intend to introduce an online service for the provision of our property certificates, and we should do so within the next 3 to 4 months. So, as I say, overall, we received a very satisfactory response from our customers, and I'm seeking permission to accept the results of the survey.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Councillor Mulgrew has his proposal and a question or comment, I think. So, Councillor Mulgrew.
Yeah, again, I'm more than happy to propose. And I have to say, while Colly has alluded to the fact that there's always room for improvement, they told me that when I got 8% in the Irish the first time when I started learning Irish, room for improvement. But I have to say, Colly, I mean, I contacted Building Control on a number of occasions during the lockdown, with people that were find themselves in a difficult situation and at a bit of a stalemate in regards to moving forward or backwards. And I have to say, Building Control are always very forthcoming in terms of their flexibility and support. So I very, very much welcome the outcome of this, and, you know, I'm more than happy to propose. Could I also ask, you know, is the planning service also going to present a similar report to us? I think that was to be done, and I would just like to ask exactly where they are with that at the minute. Thank you.
Mr. McKay, is Mr. McKay on the call in regards to the question on planning?
Chairman, just bear with me a moment. Good evening, Chair. We're hoping to roll out a similar survey in January.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. McKay. Mr. Stokes, Councillor Stokes, you're going to second the question.
I think I was one of the people asked this, and I have to say, congratulations to Collier and everyone in the department. I mean, I don't think Kim Jong-un could find a problem to find fault with those figures, so congratulations to all involved. Fantastic feedback. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Sorry, I didn't imagine Kim Jong-un being segued in there. Councillor Hannah has a question as well.
Thanks, Chair. Councillor Mulgrew asked the question I was going to ask, but just along with the other two councillors, I would like to congratulate the Building Control as well. Colly's sitting smiling there, says he deserves to be smiling. And I know any time I contact the Building Control and Colly himself there, the service is fantastic, so there is always room for improvement, but I'm sure you shall find that room for improvement if it's needed. Thanks, Colly, for all you do.
Yep, thank you, Councillor Hannan, yes, and thank you, Mr. Jackson, for the report and the wonderful statistics provided in it, so thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 15 is the dangerous structure, Warren Point, and again, I think Mr. Jackson's taking this.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Members, I'm seeking your permission to carry out some remedial work to a dangerous wall between Ashley Heights and Oak Grange in Warren Point. Building Control received a complaint about a wall in September, and one of our surveyors inspected it. He confirmed that there is the potential for the wall to collapse and injure the public or one of the local residents. The owners of both adjacent properties dispute ownership of the wall, and we conducted searches through land registry, but the records proved to be inconclusive. We also contacted DFI Road Service, and they confirmed that they did not adapt the wall as it doesn't lend support to the footpath or the road, and therefore they're not responsible for any repairs. The wall was built approximately 30 years ago and prior to the construction of one of the houses at the adjoining property, and the builder's no ongoing responsibility. However, the council has an obligation under the danger structure legislation to take steps to remove the danger and protect the public within our district. The wall in question is about 6 metres long and 1.2 metres high. I've been in contact with our maintenance section and they have confirmed that they can undertake the remedial work in-house. So the idea would be to remove the danger section of the wall and replace it with a new timber post and rail fence. The cost materials should not exceed approximately £1,000, and Building Control have a small revenue budget to undertake such works within our existing revenue budget. So I'm seeking committee approval this evening to remove the danger wall by our maintenance team in-house and replace it with a timber post and rail fence.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Councillor Ryan, are you happy to propose?
Happy to propose, Chair, yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Ryan. Councillor McAteer, are you happy to second?
Happy to second, Chair, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, the following items will be taken in closed session. So items 16 to 22 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. Could I call for a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session?
So proposed, Chair.
Councillor Burgess proposed. And Councillor Mulgrew's second. Thank you.
Right, Chair, there's just one press that's come back in, if you want to go ahead.
I think we will. Thank you. Coming out of closed session, it was agreed. Item number 16, on the proposal of Councillor McGrew, seconded by Councillor Stokes, it was agreed to accept business case for tourism signage programme, which will be 100% funded by DFC and procurements as required to progress the project. Item number 17, extension of licence, Cordroni Cafe. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed to extend the tender for a further 2 years until 31st December 2022. And in 2022, a new procurement exercise will be undertaken for the provision from 1st of January 2023. Item 18, security provision, Kilbroney Park. The proposal of Councillor Tinley, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed approval of the business case recommendation to undertake the relevant procurement exercises to appoint a suitable supplier to meet the requirements set out in this report. Item number 19, Southern Relief Road economic appraisal. On the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Mulgrew, it was agreed council officers re-engage with the appointed economist through a variation of contract to produce a detailed report for submission to DFI on the future economic benefits of a lifting bridge to Newry City and the district. Item number 20, Tascomi renewal licence. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed members are asked to review this report and approve the extension of the IDOX Tascomi software package for Building Control for the next 3 years. Item 21, update regarding visitor information. On the proposal of Councillor Burgess, seconded by Councillor Curran, it was agreed to approve the recommendations as set out in this report. Item 22, Newry bid proposals. On the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Mulgrew, it was agreed, based on the detail presented to date in the draft business plan, it is recommended Council approve the strategy subject to submission of the final draft ahead of Council meeting on 4th of January 2021. Now, items 23 to 33 are all for noting, and if anybody the council officers, as ever, are happy to undertake any correspondence regarding said items. And if we're happy to proceed to the end of the meeting, we will proceed to the end of the meeting. Okay. Thank you, councillors. If I don't see a... Declan Kern. Sorry, Dermot. Sorry, Mr. Kern. Councillor Kern. What item is it you're coming in on, Councillor Kern? Councillor Kern, sorry, you're on mute, Councillor Kern. Councillor Kern, yeah, mute. Councillor Kern, you're on mute.
I keep myself quiet, so good. It's in relation to an update on the, I asked the Mr. Mallon about an update on relation to the Irish Street car park and the police station in Downpatrick, because this project is a very important project in relation to the city, the town of Downpatrick. I came under noting there, but what I would like to say on, we had a working group meeting on the 11th of December, on the 11th. The 11th of November, and what he called, and unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, I was very disappointed in relation to that meeting, because there was no information at all came forth in relation to what was happening and going forward. And you will recall, and there was no results of the self-marketing campaign that was put out there. And where we were with that 19, well, all we were told was that there's 19 applications, so 19 return applications in relation to the campaign. But other than that, there was no information whatsoever. Now, what I would like to do, sir, with your permission, that I would like to know, we're having another meeting, a working group meeting, on the, in January of the 4th, and 2021. And what I would like to know for that meeting would be that the details of the applications received, the details of them, because we didn't get that, and how we should consider them and how we should go forward with them. And when will the business sector, which is very important, to be involved to hear I would like to hear what their views is and how we're going forward in the public with this very important project to get them. And I would like to propose that the full report of the action from the meeting, the working group meeting in January, is tabled for the next meeting of the ERT committee.
Chair, just to respond to Councillor Kern, we're more than happy to action your proposal if that's what the consensus is of the members. And we're more than happy also to put forward your concerns to DFC, who are currently working on the development of the master plan, the development plan for the site. So we're happy to do both of them things if other members are happy with that proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Kern, and thank you, Mr. Mallon. Are we all in agreement or fully consent to what was laid out there by Councillor Kern and Mr. Mallon? I think so. Okay.
Can I thank you, Chair, for that, and can I thank the rest of the members for supporting that, because it is very important in relation to that, Patrick. Thank you again.
So, Mr. Mallon just wanted to come in for one last sort of comment.
Just, on behalf of all the officers, I would just like to wish all the members in the committee a happy Christmas and a safe and healthy Christmas and New Year. So on behalf of the officers, if I don't see you before Christmas, have a happy Christmas.
Thank you, Mr. Mallon. And yes, Merry Christmas to one and all.
Happy Christmas.
Union hands.
Thanks, Chair.
Happy Christmas, everybody. Have a good one.
Thank you.